The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but Christianity doesn't seem to work. Why does it not seem to work? Because the miracles you read about in the Bible are not happening today. At least you don't see them happening. You're under the impression that they're not happening. Why aren't the dead rising like we read about in the Bible? Why aren't the blind seeing? Why aren't the sneezers stopping without Kleenex? Heck, you'd even settle for somebody laying hands on a bald head and springing up a new crop of hair just to see a miracle. Well, today I do this show on location from a little town in Thomaston, Georgia, and a little church with a big reputation. The church is called Pleasant Valley. Now, one of the first things I heard about this church when I arrived this week for this fantastically interesting seminar is that this church has a reputation where they are loved by the people that aren't Christians and disliked to a large degree by some of the other churches in town. When I heard that, I figured, boy, they must be doing something right. It's my very special guest today, Henry Wright. He is the author of the book, A More Excellent Way, which has sold about 180,000 copies worldwide and is still climbing. And he's got some special guests that he's going to introduce in a moment. But Henry started this church and was a pastor in other churches for a number of years. Henry, thank you so much for being on our program.
That's good to be here.
It's wonderful. Now, let's hear a little bit about your story, because it's a very interesting testimony. I was very fascinated to hear you talk the first day I was in town. You were a pastor now for how many years?
This is about 23 years.
And how long have you been a Christian altogether?
24 years.
24 years. Now, as a lot of our audience knows, the whole issue of whether God continues to do miracles, specifically in the area of healing, is a controversy in the church today. We have some Christians that don't believe in that at all. There's a very erroneous theology called dispensationalism, which says that God doesn't do miracles anymore because the Bible's been written. But there are other Christians who do believe that God does miracles, and yet they're not expecting them to happen frequently. Others expect them to happen more frequently, but they say it's up to God. But it sounds like you've gone even beyond that. So tell us a little bit about your own mental thought pilgrimage with the area of healing.
Well, when I began in ministry, I saw in the Bible that God did heal and wanted to heal. In fact, in theologically speaking, in Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, He is the Lord that forgives us of all of our iniquities, and He heals us of all of our diseases. There was a three-letter word that nailed me. I have never recovered from it, nor do I want to recover from it. It is the word A-L-L.
I almost thought you were going to say A-O-L, but I like the word A-L-L a lot better. A-L-L. I have not been happy with A-O-L these days.
I understand. A-L-L is the word all. Then I remembered a scripture in the New Testament scriptures that the Lord said, which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or pick up your bed and walk? And I realized, who has made it more difficult to be healed than to be forgiven?
Now, this is an interesting story. For those of you not familiar with Christianity, this was Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, talking to the Pharisees, who were kind of the clergymen of the day, weren't they? In a way, this is what Jesus might be saying to some of today's ministers.
Sort of. The leaders he was talking to were the spiritual leaders of the Old Testament church, the Jews, the Israelites. And they were God's people at that time. And he was talking to them about this subject. Over in 3 John, verse 2, is another verse that says, "Dearly beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And right here, this is not a name it and claim it business. This is not a name it and claim it scripture. What the author is saying in 3 John verse 2 is an intention. You know, I think we must have goals that are greater than ourselves. And really, what I see happening, even in Christianity, everybody's trying to draw God back down to their failure and then blame him for it. That's a scary theology.
So you're reading in the Bible that God wants us to prosper and wants us to be healthy, but you were not seeing that happening a lot in the churches.
No, I wasn't. In fact, when I gave my life to God, and boy, that was a big deal because I was 38 years of age. So for all those years before, I was certainly not interested in God. I promise you I was not interested in God. And in my time, I had an awakening spiritually, and God came into my life. And I got excited because I found things in this thing called the Bible that I hadn't found in any philosophical. No philosopher had taught it. I hadn't found it in any book or library in the world that I'd read, that this type of stuff, even for people who say, "Well, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a believer." Even if there were no God, let's take the apologetics. Even if there were no God, even if the Bible and Jesus Christ and God were a total lie, do you know that what I found in the Bible, no philosopher has been able to duplicate? In fact, what I found in the Bible, when you read it, the theme, the knowledge, the wisdom, the insight, the direction is the best that mankind could ever be. And what's wrong with that?
There are an awful lot of people today that'll say if we could just live by the teachings of Jesus, even though they're not Christians. Now, you read the Bible after you became a Christian. It sounds like you had a fairly typical story of somebody that got excited because they met the Spirit of God, started reading the Bible, and then it sounds like some Christians came along, I'm guessing, to help you understand the Bible more correctly, more properly, more theologically, and you got caught in some common traps.
Later on we ran into that debate. But let's back up just a bit. When I first began to, well, as a believer, to try and represent God, which I read we should be able to with him working with us, the first several months of me trying to help people, it was like, wow. I'm talking about 95% of everyone I prayed for got well. And I thought to myself, this thing really works. And then the bottom fell out. And for several months, I was very fortunate to see 5% of anybody's life change when I tried to represent God. And after several months of this, I finally, in my time of communion with God, I asked him, what gives? I mean, here I have all the success, and now that I have no success. And in my mind, the Spirit of God began to speak to me.
Okay, we're going to find out what the Spirit of God said to you when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You're listening to News Talk 1170, KCBQ.
This is Bob Siegel. You've been listening to a very special edition of the Bob Siegel Show today with Pastor Henry Wright from Pleasant Valley Church in Thomaston, Georgia. He does a fantastic faith healing ministry, but it integrates a great deal of information about science. And I know that as some of you have been listening to the program today, you've been wondering how to get more information. Some of you may want to take a trip to Georgia yourselves. I'm telling you, there's one of the best kept secrets out here. 1-800-453-5775, website www.beinhealth.com. Let me give you those numbers again. 1-800-453-5775 and www.beinhealth.com. And after another word from a different sponsor, we will be back with Pastor Henry.
If you're driving down the road trying to decide whether you need a home equity loan just to buy gas, you might want to consider starting a home business. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby with the Three-Step Plan Home Business System. Three-Step Plan members walk to work every day. It only takes about 10 seconds, and it doesn't use any gas. Saving money on gas is great, but avoiding all the traffic hassles is a pretty great benefit on its own. Some people keep their jobs and work the Three-Step Plan part-time. That's one of the great things about the three-step plan. You get to make the choices. For information, go to threestepplan.com or call
800-895-6545.
Thousands of Americans are already building a home business with the three-step plan. They are taking a proactive approach to today's changing economy. Find out how you can make more money working from home. Go to threestepplan.com or call
800-895-6545. That's 800-895-6545.
News Talk 1170 KCBQ. Visit KCBQ.com today for special discount offers. Explore the possibilities at Office Pavilion and get $50 off your next seating purchase. Keep the elements outside with insulated dual-pane windows and receive free blinds with your new windows from With Ease Windows. And no need to remove plants, animals, or furniture to rid your home of termites. Get $50 off any service provided by Ecola Termite Services. So visit KCBQ.com today to click and save.
News Talk 1170, KCBQ, San Diego.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170, KCBQ. This is Bob Siegel on location today in a beautiful town in Georgia called Thomaston. This town is so small, I hear they closed down the library. Somebody checked out the book. It's an old one, but it applies to here as well. But I'm here with Pastor Henry Wright. He's not on the floor laughing at that that bad joke. But anyway, it served my purposes because I come from California where California has many small towns too, but I don't live in one of them. Anyway, Pastor Henry, you were telling us that you had become a Christian and then you became a pastor and you were excited about what you read in the Bible that God could do in the area of healing and miracles, but the bottom had dropped out. Why don't you continue from where you left off?
Well, I went to my prayer time, and I said, so what happened? I mean, I go from this kind of success and then to absolute hardly anything. And I had these words begin to form in my consciousness. And this may maybe shock a few people, but here's what I heard God say to me. Henry, for the past several months, I haven't sent the first person to you to be prayed for that I could heal them. The devil sent them to you. Now, I don't know if you believe in a devil or not. There's lots of conversation about a literal invisible kingdom ruled by this thing or individual called Satan. But this is what I heard. The devil had sent people. Why would the devil send people to me for prayer? That is as bizarre and abstract as you can imagine.
Even somebody that believes in the devil would find that bizarre and abstract.
I'm just going to go ahead and change it, make it better, and so on. And I said, are you God talking to me, or are you the devil talking to me? I mean, you know, sometimes you don't know what the source of your thoughts are.
Under the circumstances, that was probably a fair question.
That was a fair question. And God spoke to me and said, I'm not the devil. Well, that was encouraging. He said, these people, I said, what do you mean the devil sent them to me? These are Christians. They carry Bibles. They go to church. They wear crosses. They say prayers. They do all kinds of things. He said, they may call themselves Christians, they may carry Bibles, and they go to church, and they wear crosses, but I am not their Lord.
Oh, them's fighting words. Now, for those of you who are not Christians, when we say the devil, and I do believe in the devil, by the way, we don't mean some creature that's red with a pitchfork shoveling coal in hell. We're talking about some kind of alien entity that lives in an unseen dimension. That's probably a language that today's science generation could accept a little more.
Absolutely.
In fact, sometimes people accuse Christians of being closed-minded because they don't believe in life on other worlds. Well, you want an open mind? We believe in life from another world, in another dimension. But now, for those of you who are Christians and already believe in Satan, isn't there a lot of mythology that Christians have about Satan? And isn't one of them the idea that if a Christian has the Holy Spirit, then they could never have a demon living inside of them or interacting with their mind? That somehow, when we get saved, there's this instant cure-all and Satan can't have anything to do with us anymore.
Well, we're not talking about living inside you, but do you believe that you can be tempted?
I believe I could be tempted.
Then where is that coming from?
Absolutely. And the Bible does say don't give any opportunity to Satan. So they're assuming that these creatures are interacting with us to some degree.
I don't, you know, the debate of whether or not something invisible that would be evil could live in you, outside you, or is on Pluto with a megaphone. The source of those thoughts, they may not be yours.
And it's almost an irrelevant debate after all, because if they have access to our mind and the mind controls the body, then they're having influence on the body for all intents and purposes anyway. So at that point, whether they live inside or get to the mind, the same thing's being accomplished.
Doesn't make any difference, because even science knows the mind-body connection.
And science talks about the mind-body connection a lot today.
We know that stinking thinking can produce disease.
They just like to leave God out of it.
Well, they want to leave everything out of it. They want to make everything just, I'm my problem. If I'm evil. I have stinking thinking, so I'm stinking thinking. I mean, I'm stinking. I'm evil. Nobody loves me. And the issue really is this, is that not many people understand the spiritual dimension. And so in this time of conversation with God, I got a problem. I want to help people. And it's not working. And all of a sudden I got this God-type individual, invisible, that I think's talking to me. And I'm hearing all these words form within me that he hasn't sent these people for me to represent him, but this unseen creature, Satan, has sent them to me because he's not Lord. And I said, what do you mean? I can't tell if these people are Christians or not. They look the same to me. They carry Bibles. They go to church.
It's almost like the parable of the tares and the wheat, that there were going to be people that might look the same from the outside.
Can't tell.
And they might be using the same terminology. They may be saying, Jesus Christ is my Savior. They're all coming to church. So we don't always know what's in somebody's heart.
Well, the Bible says that only God and the man know the thoughts of a man's heart. I mean, I can put a facade on. I can fool you. I can act like I'm righteous. But ask my wife. She'll tell you I'm still growing up.
Okay, we're going to get his wife on the phone in a few minutes and do just that. Go ahead. I can't resist that one.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
So in this conversation with God, I said, if you're God talking to me, you're telling me then that this invisible being can have a legal right to people's lives that are Christians? Well, if he can have a legal right to people's lives who are Christians, does that mean he has a legal right to everybody that may practice ways of thinking, ways of speaking, ways of acting that are not best for mankind?
If he has a legal right even to those who gave their lives to God, certainly to those who haven't given their lives to God at all, he would have a legal right.
Yeah, but you see what I've observed, that there's no benefit from being a Christian. We have the same diseases. Excuse me, there should be. But in my observation of what's called Christianity, is there's not much difference between those who say, I'm born again, or I'm a Christian, and those who don't believe.
Do you feel that the emphasis has overly emphasized the afterlife, that we become Christians so that we could go to heaven someday with very little interest in how to live our life in the here and now?
Well, I suppose there's a mentality in Christianity that all this is about is avoiding this place called hell and going to a mystical place called heaven.
It's a fire insurance policy.
It's a fire insurance policy. And in between, we're stuck between heaven and hell, and God have mercy on us. Yet, when I went and read the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I realized that who God is and what he represents, which is first best for mankind, that isn't something that needs to be happening in heaven. What heaven represents needs to be happening here.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, then why do we help people? Why do we go to hospitals when we have a heart attack? We just say, oh, see you later, bye-bye. Why do we try to save people's lives? Why do we have EMT? Why do we go through? Because we want to preserve life here because we have loved ones.
I really resonate with that. In fact, when Jesus went to visit his friend Lazarus, mm-hmm. and Lazarus had died, he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead in 2 minutes, but he still wept because God never intended for people to die. And even when God knows there's going to be a resurrection, there is a sadness, there's a tragedy in death.
Well, let me ask you a question. What benefit, Bob, are you and I to mankind if we're dead?
Well, some people who know me might think there's a great benefit if I wasn't around. But I would like to think that would be of no benefit to people if I was dead.
You know
I certainly
what?
Would be of no benefit to myself if I was dead.
If you was to drop dead, I'd try to raise you from the dead because we need you.
Henry, from the bottom of my heart, I hope you'd do that if I ever find myself in that situation.
Well, it happened one time here. A man got raised from the dead.
I remember you telling that the other day. Yeah. Tell them again. That's a fascinating...
We had a rock musician that played John Lennon in Beatlemania on Broadway a few years ago that came with a heart condition. Actually, he came with his doctor for a little prayer. And we didn't get that far. He dropped dead in my church.
And you're not talking figuratively. You mean he
no
really
pulse.
Clinically died.
No pulse. Now, I don't know how long you have to be dead before you're dead, but when you don't have any pulse, that means the old ticker is not pumping. And he had a number of diseases. He had three or four different diseases. And being a pastor of a church, which I am, as you know, it's not really good to have somebody come and drop dead in your church.
it's
bad for publicity.
It is bad.
Now
for
you
publicity.
Can be dead already and bring you in and have a funeral, and that's acceptable.
You know, churches struggle with numbers enough as it is without somebody who attends dropping dead. I mean, that kind of reverses the Sunday school tally the next day.
Yeah. Well, in this case, I got a man dead on my floor. So what do? You call 911. Well, our church is in the country. It's going to be 20 minutes before they get here, and he's going to be 20 minutes deader. And in that setting, I did something that Jesus did in the name of Jesus. I just had to. I spoke life into him, commanded the spirit of death to be gone, and his pulse returned. In fact, in this room we have a witness to this, which is on your show as Pastor Anita Hill. And she's a nurse, and she was with the doctor when this happened. And when the man's heart started beating again, his pulse was so strong, it knocked the doctor's finger right off of his wrist because it exploded with life.
Now, would this doctor, would he have been an atheist before?
It was a lady doctor.
Lady doctor?
No, she was a believer.
She was a believer.
Mm-hmm. And they couldn't do anything. He had atrial fibrillation. He had asthma. He had allergies. He had a number of diseases. And when he came up off that floor, he was alive, but he didn't have any of his diseases.
Wow. So he not only got his life back, but without any of the diseases.
Yeah, he's been well now for almost 5 years.
All these fringe benefits, and that happened right on the spot.
Right on the spot.
So when this man dropped dead in your church, you just had the audacity to believe what the Bible actually says instead of getting all theological and saying, I guess his time has come.
Bob, I gotta say something to you. There's a difference between being a Christian and a believer.
Okay, let's hold that thought. What is the difference between being a Christian and being a believer? There's probably a lot of people who think they're believers who are just dying to know, and you will know when we return to the Bob Siegel Show at News Talk 1170 KCBQ.
News Talk 1170 KCBQ.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in three serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. If you wanted a guarantee, you should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
Well, man, summer is on the way, and if you feel embarrassed at the beach in a bathing suit or in the locker room at the gym, now's the time to do something about it. Over 40% of men are affected with something called gynecomastia, fatty male breast tissue that typically does not respond to diets and or exercise. Men undergoing treatment for prostate or testicular cancer can also struggle with gynecomastia, but you can do something about it. Dr. Schaefer at New Image Cosmetic Surgery has helped countless men lead more fulfilled and confident lives with his male breast reduction technique, and he's one of the few surgeons performing this procedure. Plus, with Dr. Schaefer's rapid recovery method, you can have the procedure on a Friday and return to work on a Monday. At New Image Cosmetic Surgery, they understand that this is a sensitive issue. So call now for a free and private consultation, 877-MICRO-LIPO. That's 877-MICRO-LIPO. Give them a weekend, and they'll give you a new image. For summer, call 877-MICRO-LIPO.
You're listening to News Talk 1170, KCBQ.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. This is Bob Siegel. I'm joined in Thomaston, Georgia, with Pastor Henry Wright of Pleasant Valley Church, a man who has the gall, the unmitigated gall, to believe what the Bible says. Says against great controversy, but I guess when someone drops dead in your church and comes back to life and loses a myriad of diseases on the spot, somebody's got to pay attention and think that God did something.
Well, the man that's alive is grateful, and the rest of it is just a debate.
And I saw the video that he has made, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, he was featured on national television around the world.
That is wonderful.
And he has a new book out called Nothing is Impossible. And he was a rock musician, and he was introduced to God through Phil Kagi, who was well known in America as one of the top Christian guitarists.
If he has a book out, I assume this man doesn't mind you giving his name?
His name is Casimir McLeod.
Okay. Now, so Casimir McLeod, and what was the name of his book again?
It's a new one. It just came out. It's called Nothing is Impossible.
Nothing is Impossible by Casimir McLeod. Mm-hmm. Fantastic testimony. Now, before we went to our break, you mentioned that there's a difference between Christians and believers.
Well,
what is that difference?
We like to think that because we're, quote, a Christian, we're a believer. But it doesn't mean that you believe because you're a Christian. Those that believe, you know, we can go to Mark chapter 16, well, if it's still in your Bibles. You can go to Mark chapter 16, it says, those that believe shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out devils. Boy, that's a profound statement. And I just want to say something and get real big trouble.
Or you could. This is the program where we invite trouble. So you go
if you say that you're a Christian, but you don't believe that God heals today, you're an unbelieving Christian.
So you would say they're still a Christian in the sense that God in His mercy has saved them, but they're losing out on a lot of what God might have for them.
Well, I got something to say more than that, my friend. If you don't believe that God heals today, then for you, He doesn't.
That's not a good dilemma for somebody to be
in. Well, that's the conclusion. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you don't believe, then what's left? Unbelief. Either believe or you don't believe. And it's as simple as that. Now, if we're going to argue about what faith is, then you don't have any faith. All you have is an argument. I'll tell you something. I don't have any power. You don't have any power. God is the power. And it only God can do things. Now, if God does these things, like with Casper, there are two camps in Christianity. There are those that say, well, healing passed away 2,000 years ago with the apostles. Well, the man's alive. All his diseases are gone. And I, Henry, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, cast out a spirit of death and remove those diseases from him in the name of Jesus.
So how would a dispensationalist who believes God doesn't heal anymore answer that? Did you get a chance to talk to him?
Oh, I hear it all over America.
Did they say Satan brought him back from the dead?
Oh, they say I did that by the power of the devil.
By the power of the devil.
Absolutely.
Of course, Jesus, when talking to the Pharisees, said the devil does not cast out the devil. So,
well, Jesus said more than that. He said it was the unpardonable sin.
attribute the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil.
Right, because these people might have had a sincere skepticism, but once Jesus did a miracle and it became an insincere skepticism, they were going down a very dangerous road.
I'll tell you, I want to get really serious with you here. Everyone listening to your audience are parts of families. They have mothers and they have fathers. Depending on your age, they have children and grandchildren. And the junk that's in your parents and grandparents is in you and your children and your grandchildren. Our families and our society is filled with things that are not right. From fear to bitterness to anger to murder to rage to everything that you can imagine. And that stuff doesn't come from God. Now, let me finish this thought. Because when Jesus was accused of casting out devils by the power of the devil, he asked these religious leaders a very big question. You want to hear this question?
I do.
He said, if I cast out devils by the power of the devil, by whom do your sons cast them out? Do you know what Jesus was saying? There's no hope for you because you have a hardened heart. But what about your children? They've got your junk, and who's helping them?
So he's saying if you don't want to save yourself, at least get out of the way for your children.
Absolutely.
Now, would you say that these generational-type curses and the filth that we sometimes commit, sometimes inherit, is this the reason that some people like this rock star are getting healed and others are not getting healed? Is that what you discovered? Because some would say, well, okay, if it happened with this guy, why doesn't it happen to everybody? And it sounds like you're saying there are some reasons that it happens with some and not with others.
Well, not everybody deals with their stuff. One of our key insights in the world is called something called spiritual roots of disease. And we're researching over 700 different diseases. In certain disease classes and specific diseases, from our study of scripture, from our study of science, both psychiatry, psychology, biology, and what the medical community knows, in hundreds of diseases, we know the pathway. We know what causes that biological manifestation. And I'll tell you where it begins. All of mankind is in some type of disagreement with God. We either don't like him, we don't trust him, or we want to think, speak, and act in ways that are not who he is. So if God is love, and we don't want to be love, then we're fracturing the spirituality of a planet as humans. Now, if we continue to fracture the spirituality of a planet as humans, that produces a dis-ease spiritually, which creates a long-term mindset of how we think in our psychology. That unattended to produces a dis-ease of physiology. And if that's not dealt with, it is a diagnosed disease.
You know, this is very important. This is a very crucial point because Christians frequently get accused of throwing science out the window or saying all psychology is of the devil. It sounds like you've done a lot of research in the area of medicine, in the area of psychology. You probably don't accept Freudian psychology, but psychology in the generic sense, a study of the mind. And doctors are saying the mind influences the body, so you're adding another dimension. You're saying, let's also look at what in the spiritual world can influence the mind, which influences the body. It sounds like you're including science, but you've gone another step.
Well, the reason for that is because we are not just an animal. There's a slight difference between you, me, and a chicken. Now, we don't want to eat humans, do we? But we eat chickens. Why is it that we eat chickens? Because we know they don't have a spirit. You can eat your chicken for lunch and not feel guilty, unless it's your pet chicken. And you may have an attachment to your pet chicken. But chickens are designed to give eggs and be eaten.
I must say, though, I've met a few cats that I think are going to hell, but generally I accept your point.
Well, I've seen some catty people, too. So the issue is this, is there's a difference between us and the animals, contrary to what zoology teaches, because natural man does not see that he is a spirit being. And we are a spirit, and we are eternal in our creation as a spirit being. We have a soul, our psyche, and we live in a mobile home. Some of you, what's your mobile home? That's your bodies that you walk around in. And so there's a triuneness to our creation, which is spirit, soul, and body.
So we have the triuneness of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and being made in His image, we are also triune beings to some degree.
Let's talk about that. In the triuneness of our existence, does God think? Yes, He's a being. Does He speak? Yes, He speaks. Does He act what He thinks and what He speaks? Yes. So in our creation, we have the ability to think, we have the ability to speak what we think, and we have the ability to act on what we think
okay.
and we speak.
We will act, speak, and think when we return with my very special guest, Pastor Henry Wright from Pleasant Valley Church in Georgia. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
News Talk 1170, KCBQ.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
Tomorrow, join KCBQ Radio and hundreds of San Diegans for a moving Memorial Day celebration at Singing Hills Memorial Park. Singing Hills is honoring our veterans who gave their lives with live music, a beautiful ceremony, and a personal speech from Duncan Hunter. Come and join KCBQ tomorrow for Memorial Day as we honor those who paid the ultimate price for our freedoms. Tomorrow, 2 p.m. at Singing Hills Memorial Park in El Cajon. Please join us.
News Talk 1170, KCBQ, San Diego.
I've had it, Jackie. I've tried on probably about 40 pairs of jeans, and I can't find anything that fits without making me look like some high schooler. You know, I've got three children.
Oh, come on, Audrey. It can't be that bad.
Easy for you to say. You always look great.
Well, thanks, but if I tried mall shopping, I'd have the same problem as you. I look and feel great because I shop at Icons. It's this cute boutique shop in Encinitas that specializes in finding great, fitting, fashionable jeans for women. In fact, these jeans I'm wearing were featured on Oprah's Favorite Things, and I bought them at Icons.
Wow, to think of the money I could have saved on gas alone. I'm going straight to Icons.
Great, I'll come with you.
Icons Clothing Boutique has the best in mid and high-rise denim, including Pure Color, MU, Jed, Tummy Tuck, and more. From the 5 freeway, travel 4 miles east on Encinitas Boulevard to the West Village Shopping Center, or call Icons at 632-7766. Icons Clothing Boutique, where icons are created. 760-632-7766.
News Talk 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. This is Bob Siegel and Pastor Henry Wright of Pleasant Valley Church in Thomaston, Georgia. And you were talking about the fact that human beings made in the image of the triune God are triune beings themselves, body, soul, and spirit.
And that's true. And if we go to the scriptures, which I'm a pastor, I'm so sorry I have to use the Bible. But
well, what can you do? If that's the word God gave us, what are you going
to
do?
Let me just, I had, you know, we have people come to our program for my life from all over the world. And I had a person come to our program that had a disease that the world, even Mayo Clinic, couldn't help him. And he came because he had heard of people that got healed from his disease. But he didn't believe in God. He was what you call an atheist agnostic. And so he came to this dreaded place that was run by believing Christians. And And I happened to be home at that time. I wasn't traveling. And I met him in the corridors about 3 or 4 days later of our week-long program. And I said, well, how you doing? He said, well, you guys have really got a really a lot of good understanding here, and I'm doing much better. I said, well, good, good. But he said, I have a real problem. I said, well, what is your problem? He said, you use the Bible. I said, of course we use the Bible. We're a Christian church. But I don't believe in the Bible. I said, well, why don't you believe in the Bible? He said, because men wrote it. Oh, I said, you don't believe in the Bible because men wrote it. Yes. I said, sir, may I ask you a question? Who wrote what you believe?
That is a fantastic comeback.
Who wrote what you believe? I said, my Bible says that holy men, moved on by the Holy Ghost, wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. What kind of ghost wrote your stuff?
What did he say to this?
He had no answer.
Did he continue to stay at your seminar?
Yes, he did. And he,
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess he believed in the Bible by the time the week was over.
No, not necessarily.
No?
No. You know, beginning to change our thinking hurts because we're so set in our ways with our superstitions and our theologies and our philosophies that if, God forbid, anybody be asked to change their mind about anything. Let me ask you a question, Bob.
Sure.
Have you ever been ignorant in your time?
Oh, many, many times. Far too many times.
Did you know you were ignorant at the time
ignorant? Oh, no. When I'm ignorant, ignorance is bliss. Like, you know.
Would you have fought wars to defend your ignorance?
Some of them. And, I was a pastor for many years, and when I changed my position on some theologies, I felt an obligation to seek out people to say, I used to teach you this, and I was wrong. Upon a better examination of the Scripture, better study, better word studies in the Greek, I found that I was wrong. And, of course, I used to teach all my people not to trust me anyway, so it worked out just fine. They said, well, you always told us you were just a fallible human being. But, no, I've changed my position many times as a Christian.
So then, being able to change your mindset is healthy.
I think it's very healthy. I think a person who cannot change their thinking, that's when they stagnate. An adult that can still learn is an adult that's going to stay young for a good long time, I believe.
You see, even in this show today with you, I'm sure there are many that disagree already.
Oh, yeah. They've already decided we were wrong before we started talking.
And so that's okay. But what is right then? You can only judge truth and knowledge by its fruit, not by its debate. You say, well, I don't believe in healing today. I can show you case histories of hundreds and hundreds of people worldwide who are well today because of these principles. So what should I do? Should I stop helping people and let them die early because you disagree? Or should I continue to help people that are getting well and defeating disease? No, I think I'm going to follow the fruit, not the failure of it.
And I think the fruit is, to anybody who wants to be honest, it's undeniable, and it's undeniable that it comes from God. But now there are other Christians today who would say that, yes, God occasionally heals. But I'm always reading these commentaries and seeing these theological explanations. Well, this kind of miracle Jesus did because he was demonstrating his kingdom, and his kingdom had come to earth. Now, that's all true enough. But isn't it also true that sometimes God just heals us because he loves us, and it's that simple and we complicate it?
Well, that gives us both sides of the equation. The Bible says God will have mercy on whom he shall have mercy. And I've seen God heal and fix people that didn't deserve it because he's God. And usually he does that to make the rest of us very upset because we know we deserve it. The other side is where I began in the early 80s when I believed that God could change our lives, including incurable disease. And then when it wasn't happening, I wanted to know why. We started this conversation earlier. I wanted to know why. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, a servant of the Lord must not strive, must be gentle unto all men, patient, able to teach in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, are in opposition to themselves. NIV says in opposition to God, that God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by the devil at he the devil's will. The NIV says to do the devil's will. And right here in three verses, from Scripture, God showed me the missing link. Sometimes there are ways that we think, speak, and act that are contrary to God, and there's a cause and effect.
And we may even think those are very religious, spiritual ways, and they may be a negative cause and effect.
We may be a female, and we think we're justified in having bitterness against our mother-in-law. But don't be surprised if you continue to have bitterness against your mother-in-law if cancer does not strike you in the left breast.
Now, do you know some people that have gotten cancer and they had some
right
stuff
breast
to deal with, and they found out that their cancer was directly related to an attitude?
Oh, absolutely. It was right breast. I had the wrong breast. Sorry. It's just hard for me as a guy to
If it had been
up,
the left breast, you know, it wouldn't have been a miracle at all. We're no, glad we straightened out that it was the right breast.
It was right breast. Okay. I'll give you an example. Have we got time to do it?
We sure do.
All right. There's a well-known author out there called Dr. Neil Anderson. Everybody in Christianity knows Dr. Neil Anderson, author of Bondage Breaker. And he co-authored a book with Dr. Michael Jacobson, who was a physician out of Cincinnati, a few years ago. And chapter 20 of the book is called Mind-Body Connection. And it's a story of a pastor's wife in Cincinnati, age 50, who was dying of breast cancer that had metastasized to her entire body. She was stage 4. She was terminal. She'd been prayed for. There was no hope. And this doctor, Michael Jacobson, knew of me and my insight into cancer and female breast cancer. And he said to the pastor and his wife, call Pastor Wright, see what he has to say. So they came in on the phone and asked me what I knew. Did I pray for her? No. I did not pray for her one time. Why should I? Nobody else's prayers worked. You think I have a greater in with God? Or was there maybe something in her life that gave the enemy a legal right to put this disease on her? I knew that. I knew that legal right. And so when she came in and asked me what I knew, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you have any unresolved bitterness between you and yourself and another female? Maybe she hurt you years ago, because being a pastor's wife is not easy sometimes. Yes, there was a woman. I said, what do you think you should do about it? That will be my question to you. Well, she said, I think I should forgive her. I said, are you saying that because you want to be, do you want to live and defeat this cancer? Or are you saying that because you're convicted that bitterness is not,
very good question,
is contrary to God? Which is it? She said, I'm convicted. I've known this all along, Pastor, and I will do what I need to do. I said, fine. What's really interesting about this, I never heard any more about this until I saw my name in the book.
So now we hear the rest of the story.
5 years later, I get autograph copy in chapter 20.
Oh, my goodness.
There I'm in, right there in chapter 20, and this testimony is in there. And I never prayed for her. When she lined up with God and how God thinks, see, God is forgiveness. And when we practice unforgiveness and bitterness, that's not just contrary to God. It's contrary to creation. It's contrary. Hey, you want to be philosophical? Unforgiveness and bitterness is contrary to mankind, period.
And this is a miracle that was authenticated by actual doctors. This
yes.
is just exactly what people always
yes.
ask for. We got the charts, the graphs, the x-rays, everything. Okay, this is absolutely fantastic. We are going to continue this stimulating discussion with Pastor Henry Wright, the connection between the mind and the body, which probably a lot of you resonate with, but the spiritual world, which might be a challenge to some of you, but we will challenge you again on News Talk 1170 KCBQ. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News Talk 1170 KCBQ.
This is Bob Siegel. For more information about our very special guest, Pastor Henry Wright, call 1-800-453-5775. Learn for your own life the relationship between some of the emotional issues, spiritual issues, and people are even being healed of asthma, allergies. You heard about cancer today, but some of the more common diseases that almost everybody struggles with, www.beinhealth.com or again, 1-800-453-5775, and we'll be right back.
Do the words financial independence or retirement seem like a distant thought? You may know where you want to end up. However, with so many choices, how do you know if you're driving down the right road? Financial planners Mark Gallo and Chris Rand, CFP, can act as your guide. They can help you analyze your individual situation and recommend ways for you to achieve your goals in the most efficient way possible. A financial plan prepared by Mark and Chris will be designed with your specific goals in mind and can help you get from where you are today to where you want to be tomorrow. It will help you to determine ways to reduce taxes, allocate your investments properly, and protect your family assets. Mark and Chris can be reached at 866-PLAN-MET or planmet.com. If you call 866-PLAN-MET, you will receive a complimentary CD discussing some of the tax law changes for 2006. Call 866-PLAN-MET now or go to planmet.com to get your future started today. Investment advisory services offered by MetLife Securities Incorporated, New York, New York, 10166. Member NSAD SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
News Talk 1170, KCBQ.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. I'm here with Pastor Henry Wright from Pleasant Valley Church in Georgia, Thomaston, Georgia. We've been talking about the relationship between healing. Well, we're down to our last segment of this program, but we're going to be continuing this discussion next week. And next week, you're going to bring on a couple of guests who are going to share their testimony. So it won't be quite as theological, philosophical. We're going to actually hear some testimonies from the people. But for now, let's continue with where we were when we left off, and you had just shared a story about a woman who was healed of breast cancer because she was willing to deal with an attitude of resentment toward her mother-in-law. Now, some people would say there's no connection between those two phenomena, but there was a connection.
Well, there are those that say there's no connection because they don't understand the connection. But when somebody deals with an issue and they're alive and they no longer have a disease, that's a pragmatic conclusion that defies the debate. I mean, we can argue the point all the way till death, but we're not talking about dying prematurely. We're talking about living. And isn't that a more advanced subject?
Now, in your research and in your studies of the Bible, have you come to the conclusion that all sickness is related to some kind of sin or that most are? Sounds like you at least believe that most are.
80%.
80%.
In fact, I'm not alone. Dr. McLaughlin of Women's Medical College in Philadelphia, in her book a few years ago, also said very close to 80% of all incurable disease is because of a spiritual and psychological defect in their life.
Now, if I could get just a little theological here, some would say that we're going to resurrect someday in a perfect, glorified, immortal body, but presently we're in a mortal body. Mm-hmm. This body will die someday. We'll either be murdered, we'll be in a car accident, or we'll probably die of some kind of disease. So what is your take on that when we get to that final disease? For example, Isaac knew when it was his time to go. He probably wasn't asking God to heal him. He had a sense that it was his time to go, and he brought his children to bless them. So how would we know when it's our time or when God wants us to seek healing?
We have an improper assumption here. The improper assumption is that it was a disease that needs to take us out. There's many examples in scriptures of people that died and went on into eternity, and it was not a disease that killed them.
Moses would be an example of that.
And so to assume that God needs a disease to get us is very, very evil.
Okay.
Because God does not need... Listen, the Bible says that when a man is tempted, let him not even say that he is tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt man with it that is evil. But every man is drawn away of his own lust, his own issues. So to say, I'll give you a funny story. I was teaching in a conference in North Carolina a few years ago and about disease and healing and roots. And if I had known who this man was, I would have taken him on in the conference publicly, but I didn't know. It was probably just as well, because he actually jumped up in the conference and interrupted me and began to shout from the floor and take me on and say, "What are you doing, Pastor Wright, talking about healing of disease? We're going to die anyway, so why you want to get people healed for?" Later they told me, you know who he was? He was a well-known cardiovascular surgeon in North Carolina.
Oh, boy, I wouldn't want him working on me.
Why is he trying to keep people alive that they should die?
Absolutely.
You have to
He can try to do it, but you can't as a pastor.
You have to be very careful that we don't fall. I mean, I challenge Christianity. You better be very careful that you don't create a Christianized form of euthanasia here.
Okay, we're going to have to continue this discussion next week. I know we're right in the middle of it, but that just means that next week at 3 o'clock here at KCBQ, you want to continue with us this very stimulating discussion on the mind, the soul, the body, the spiritual world, and its relationship to diseases. Pastor Wright, thank you so much for joining us today. It was an honor to have you here, and I'm looking forward to having you next week.